Good morning and happy 2015 to all you beautiful folks out there. Take your Bibles, please, and go to John chapter 14. Today's topic is really simple. It's called God's Plan, Love Wins. Mark Twain, the great American writer, said the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. Folks, we are not here on earth to win medals or to get rich or to prove to society how great we are. Those things may come along with the territory, but that's not our purpose. That's not our why. We are here for one reason only, and that is simple: to know God. To know Jesus Christ, to love God, to honor God and tell others about how great our God is. You know, sometimes I think, duh, he gave us 900 promises. Why? So we can look good, so we can be styling and profiling, and people look at our lives and go, why is that person so blessed? Why are they so happy? You know, bad things happen to them and they just bounce back. They just come out better than they went in. We're here to love God, to know Him, but also to magnify Him to the world. We have a treasure in these earthen vessels, so the excellency of our life may be of God and not of our own natural ability. And only those places where we give God the glory, only those times in our life, those will last for eternity. And eternity is a long time, my friends. And I love this verse in John chapter 14. And in verse 2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Not hovels, not shacks, not double wides. Mansions! You know what mansions are? Nice. Nice. Everything you need, more than enough, plenty for everybody. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you this. And guess what? Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will absolutely come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a promise. What a phenomenal promise. That right now we can know Christ in the Spirit, but one day we're just going to be able to slap Him on the back. He's going to be physically our brother and our King, with whom we are going to reign for eternity. And that is why we've got to bear in mind, this world is not our home. Don't spend your energy trying to make people in this plane happy. Spend your energy trying to bless them and bring them to God. When I say make people happy, I'm talking about the people that don't matter, trying to keep up with the Joneses or make people you're never going to meet impressed with your life. Only if you're using that to bring them to God and point the way and say, this is where my blessings came from. It is so easy to get entangled in this world, and we are warned repeatedly in the Bible not to do it, but to be addicted to God's goal, which is, according to Rufus Moseley, the great Southern preacher, the goal of history or his story is the utter triumph of love over hate, good over evil, light over darkness, joy over sorrow, health over disease, and finally, life over death itself. In other words, God's plan is in the end, everything not like Him will cease to exist. And we get to enjoy that paradise, that relationship with God for eternity. And some people, you know, well, eternity, that's a hard concept. How do I even think about eternity? Well, the best example I ever heard was years ago. Somebody said to me, Peg, just pretend you're standing on a pristine beach in a beautiful, under a beautiful blue sky, and the beach is so, it's miles and miles of beach, and you look up into that cloudless sky and you see this little dot that keeps getting closer and closer, and finally you realize it's an eagle with a 34-foot wingspan. He picks up one grain of sand in his beak and he flies off until the dot disappears, and he returns every 1,000 years. When all the sand on that beach is gone, that's eternity. Friends, this world is not our home. Jesus is coming to take us home. We're here on temporary assignment. Jesus has gone to prepare a mansion for us, and he's coming back to take us to our real home, the home of God's making. And boy, it would behoove us to live every day that we get up with that in mind. So whatever we do, we're mindful that this life we're living now is like that dot in the sky. It's not very big in the big scheme of things, other than how we utilize it now. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, talking about the hope of Christ's return, it says, in a moment, boom, in an atom, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, that's a given, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we who are not dead when Christ returns shall be changed. If we're still living and we're mortal, we're going to instantly put on immortality. Folks, that trumpet's going to sound. I don't care how man tries to stop it, it's going to sound, and Jesus will appear to every eye. Go to Matthew chapter 24. He's going to appear to every eye, and the believers, those who loved Christ, there's that love word again, both in the Old and New Testament, will be gathered together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Whatever sphere he's in, we're there with him. In Matthew 24 and in verse 27, it says, as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Just quick, like lightning. Quick. And it says in verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then shall he send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, those who chose Christ, the elect, those of us who chose to be different than natural man. He's going to gather them from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, all those who have died in Christ and those who are alive in Christ. Boom! That quick. We're all going to be drawn up in the air. And remember, this is happening after the tribulation. The earth is trashed. People are freaking out. And here, the people, it says in Luke 23:30, they're going to be crying for the mountains to fall on them and kill them to put them out of their misery. And we're out of here. Like Vladimir. We're gone. Boop! We are taken from that crazy time of tumult, and we are gathered off this planet into the air with Jesus Christ. It says in Revelation 1:7, behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen, so be it. They're going to be wailing because they didn't choose Jesus. And they are left down here in this complete mess. A time of utter devastation, a time of trouble since the world that the world has never seen. And we're out of here, baby. Not before the tribulation, after. And after the gathering, guess what? First thing that's going to happen to us is Jesus is going to minister to us. We're all invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb, where Jesus will serve us. I mean, that right there just brings you to your knees, doesn't it? And I've often pictured being at this supper of the Lamb and walking around, you know, and walking over and getting to meet Peter at one table and Paul at another and David over there and Esther and Huldah and Mary and all of our loved ones who have accepted Christ, which is why if you have loved ones that haven't, you got a message to give right there. And all this is going to happen in an atmosphere of plenty and abundance and in the presence of our gracious Lord. Can you imagine Jesus being your host? I mean, apparently this feast is going to last for 45 days before we mount up on white horses and come back to earth with Jesus to start setting things right. But as amazing as that supper is going to be, the biggest thing by far is at that moment we are going to know God even as we are known by Him. That, my friends, to me is utterly and unequivocally mind-blowing. Turn to Luke 19. Can you imagine? I mean, no wonder we're going to need new bodies. This brain we have, this gray matter, we couldn't handle it. You know, sometimes when God shows us a glimpse of His glory in this life, we run around with a feeling like our mind's been blown and a smile we can't get off our face. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like to know God as we are known by Him. I'm humbled. I'm excited. I'm thankful. I'm blown away. And I know people have asked me before, well, Peg, how come at the new birth we didn't just immediately go to paradise and get gathered together? Because God constantly refers to bringing His kids in like a harvest. You know, He wants to give every human being an opportunity to get into His family, and He leaves us behind so that we can bring more brothers and sisters home. You know, we're not left back here on earth as a test. We're left back here as representatives. We're left here for our lifetime to represent God, to tell people about how good and loving and tender and merciful and abundant life with Father is. And it says in Luke 19:12, these disciples were asking Jesus, when was the kingdom of God? Was it going to appear immediately? See, they were wondering, hey, if you do your thing, are we going to immediately get taken out of here to a better life? And He basically said no. In verse 12, He said, therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So the far country Jesus is talking about is He's going to be taken up to be seated at the right hand of God for a period of time, and then He's going to return. Verse 13, and He called His 10 servants. This is still the allegory. And He delivered unto them 10 pounds, or translated other places, 10 talents. And He said unto them, occupy till I come. You know what happens when you occupy a land? You go in and you represent the conquering government. You go in and you represent the one who won. And if you're Americans and you go in, you rebuild everything and you give everybody candy bars and you try to make people happy again. Other countries don't do that, but we always have. What Jesus is saying here is, I'm winning. We're winning. And now you need to occupy and represent your new king until I come back. Represent me until I come back. And then He talked about the citizens hated them and they... You know, they said, no, we're not going to have this guy reign over us, and they killed him and so on and so forth. But the point I want to get back to is in verse 16. So He gave His servants abilities, talents, abilities. And then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He used His ability to open His mouth and plant the seeds because we plant in water, but God brings the increase. That's why we're still here. That's our why. And verse 17, and He said unto him, well done, thou good servant. because thou hast been faithful in very little. It's not really a big deal to love God and to walk in his blessings and tell people about it. It's very little. Because thou hast been faithful, have thou authority over 10 cities. This is directly connected to the millennial kingdom, because the job descriptions we'll have in the millennial kingdom have everything to do with what we do with what we have in the here and now. Not the length of time, but the quality that we see that our true reason for being here is to bring other kids home, to increase God's family. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came saying, Lord, here's thy pound, which I've kept laid up in a napkin. And then he goes on to make a bunch of excuses of why he didn't do anything for his Lord after the Lord had asked him to do something for him. Represent me till I come. And he just didn't do it. And he was very disappointed in this unfaithful servant. And in verse 24 it says, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound he has, the guy who didn't do anything with it, and give it to that fellow over there who has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he's the one with 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given more. And from him that has not, even that which he has shall be taken from him. In other words, that person who didn't do anything with what God gave him, he's going to come before the throne of Christ empty-handed. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I don't want to come before the throne empty-handed. It says in 1 John 2:28, it says, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now that may ruffle the feathers of some of you folks out there who love grace. I love grace too. But there are things in life that are given to us by grace, and there are things to us that are given to us by works. And especially in the millennial kingdom. How we're living our life now drastically affects whether we come before our Maker and His Son empty-handed, or we come and have something to give to Him, the gift of our life. Don't neglect your talent. Find out whatever it is God wants you to do for Him and use it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be ashamed at His coming. Do you? In Matthew 25, the same parable is given. But here's a point I want to make in verse 21. When the man used his talents and doubled them, it says in verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done. I have this written in the front of my Bible. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear from Jesus when I see him. That is my why in life and has been for over 30 years. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Yeah, I believed God to be blessed and I told other people how to get there. Whoa, big deal. Big whoop. Ran some fellowships. Shared some word. Counseled, ministered. I didn't do this when I became full-time ministry. I did this when I had 40-hour plus week jobs. This has always been my main focus. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Not just the Lord. A lot of people very willing to take Jesus as their Savior and do nothing with it. But the wise person, he takes Jesus as his Lord. He gets his marching orders from heaven. He asks God, where do you want me to work? What do you want me to do? Who do I need to talk to today? Open your mouth in the checkout line. Every time I go someplace, dentist, grocery store, restaurant, ask Chris. I don't get out of there without people knowing that I'm a Christian and God loves them and wants to bless their life. And in verse 20, and he also that had received two talents came and said the same thing, enter to the joy of thy Lord. Verse 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things, enter into the joy of thy Lord. And don't sit there thinking, well, Peg, that's just because you want to rule over cities. It isn't. I don't even know what that kind of responsibility is going to mean. But what I do know it means is I'm going to be useful. I'm going to be useful to my Lord and Master. I want to be useful. I don't want to be sitting out in the hall of the temple sucking my thumb, wishing I'd done it right when I was here, realizing how many chances I blew to open my mouth and help my fellow man. Because it says in Daniel 7:18, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. You know what that is? Eternity. But there's a little stopgap between the gathering and God being all in all when the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven and it's called the Millennial Kingdom or the times of restitution. And how does that fit in the big picture? I was praying about this morning and God said, honey, even that is about my love. I want the last little group that can get into my family to have entrance into eternal life with me. That's why I've got that last 1,000 years. Because I already see in my foreknowledge there are mortals that are going to accept me in Christ in that period of time and they will live with us for eternity. You can ask God when you see him why I set it up that way. It's above my pay grade. But apparently there's more folks that are coming in because God is patient and he waits for both the early and the latter rain. Baby, he wants that last little stalk of wheat. He wants that last little child who's going to come in and be his child for eternity. And after we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to return with Jesus Christ, every one of us on beautiful white horses, and across his thigh and his chest is that banner, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, baby. And he's going to come down and step off that white steed right in the middle of all this mess in Jerusalem. He's going to step down on the Mount of Olives. You can read this in Zechariah. It's going to split in two, and a beautiful river is going to run from east to west and heal everything it touches. And in Jerusalem, he's going to build the new temple, the Ezekiel temple, from where he will reign as king over the whole earth, continuing to subdue the earth to present it to his Father as a present at the end of the millennial kingdom. And Psalm 2 says it will be an antagonistic rule. Why? Because all the mortals left here on earth are freaked out. They've just gone through the tribulation. They've just been hoodwinked by the Antichrist and the beast and all this other crazy stuff going on. And Jesus is going to step back with us to blast them, you know, to blast the armies of the devil in the battle of Armageddon to the point, you know, it says that in the valley of Armageddon, the blood of men will rise up to a horse's bridle and it'll take 7 months to bury the dead. I'm telling you, that's the detail I don't want to be on when I'm gathered. I don't want to be on the bury the dead detail. I will tell you something I don't want to do in the millennial kingdom. And those of us who have been faithful, we will be in charge of ministering on behalf of Jesus and ruling over these decimated cities, and we'll get our new jobs depending on our faithfulness in this life. Time. This is so clear in the Bible. And we won't need cars or airplanes to travel around because guess what? We'll already have our new body like unto his spiritual body, meaning, yes, you can see it, handle it, taste it, touch it, but boink! It can travel from one place to the other without aid of car or airplane. So we won't be called onto the airplane and hear the little stewardess say, you can now move about the cabin at will. It will be, you can move about the earth at will. and you don't need a seat belt. Now, in the millennial kingdom, everyone will be asked to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, not just Israel. It's that wonderful feast that happens in the autumn called the Feast of Booths, where people made these little huts with no roof on them so they could look at the sky and consider their Creator. And everyone will be required to travel to Jerusalem once a year for the Feast of Tabernacles to worship the King, Jesus Christ, and to give glory to God the Father. If you want to read, it's in Zechariah 14:16, almost to the end of the Old Testament, Zechariah 14:16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, including Israel, which came up against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. But remember, the goal of that feast was to focus on the Creator, the goodness of God. And if these mortals don't come up, there's going to be consequences. They'll be living in an agrarian society, farmers again. They're going to take all the weapons of war and turn them into plowshares. And if they don't go up to the feast, there'll be consequences. There's no rain on their land. But war will no longer be taught, and praise God, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. But because all these unbelievers on earth have all been programmed by him, it doesn't mean that evil will cease to exist. So that's why it's an antagonistic reign. You don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah 65, and you can read it some other time, in 17 through 25, the Lord tells us to pay close attention, because he's creating new heavens and a new earth. It's in the process right now. And this all has to do with the millennial kingdom. It's still that process of creating the new heavens and the new earth, wherein only dwells righteousness. And in that millennial kingdom, infants won't die young. They'll live to be hundreds of years old, just like Noah and Adam and all these people early on in the Bible lived to be 800 and 900 years. The wolf and the lamb, they'll lie down together. There won't be any more antagonism between animals and with man. The lion will be herbivorous. He'll eat straw, not carnivorous anymore. And then after that 1,000-year reign, Satan is loose for a little season. And then again, the Lord Jesus, Satan stirs up a bunch of people to come and make war on Jesus in Jerusalem. I mean, get real. Apparently they didn't hand down for generations. Every time you do that, you lose. And Jesus will simply destroy them with his breath. There's not even a battle. It's just, boom, they're gone. And at that point, the new Jerusalem will come down from heaven as a bride adorned, and only righteousness will fill the earth. There'll be no more sickness, no more sorrowing, nor crying for anyone who makes it into the new Jerusalem. And we're going there. Yes, sir, that's where we're headed. So this world is not our home, but guess what? We've got marching orders while we're here. Simple. Occupy till I come back. Occupy till I come back. Represent me. If you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, don't go around looking for accolades and fleeting things in this world that aren't going to last. Live your life in light of the hope of Christ's return. Represent him. Because our mission here on earth is to bring more kids home to the mansion for a really long sleepover party. I know, I think of life in silly terms sometimes. Oh, man, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, God was in Christ in verse 19. He was reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their sins and trespasses unto them, and hath committed. You know what happens when you commit something? It's there. It's a done deal. has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. If we don't open our mouth, this doesn't get done. That's why it says in verse 20, N-O-W. Now then, we are, everybody reading the word are ambassadors for Christ. The question is, are you a good ambassador? Are you a lousy ambassador? Are you born again and still living for the devil? Are you born again and still living for things that don't really matter in eternity? Or have you said, sign me up, yes, Master, send me. Here I am, send me. Where do you want me? What can I do to spread your love and the gospel of truth over this world? Because we pray you, because we're ambassadors, we pray or beseech people in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Hey, don't you want to know the God I know? He's loving. He wants to love you. He's forgiven your sins. He wants to bring you into a terrific family. He wants to give you a mansion for eternity. Whether you have one in this life or not, you're going to have one in eternity. What a lovely job. What a great why. And I can tell you right now, is it stressful at times? Sure. Where there's no ox, the crib is clean. When you get involved with people, stuff happens. But people, I'm telling you, 40 years of doing this, the joy of seeing people get delivered, their hearts get healed, their lives get put back together, their finances get put back together, their health improve, their prosperity grow, their joy grow, put off the bitterness. Honey, there is no bigger high in the world. I don't care if you've won 5 Olympic medals, it doesn't compare to when you really do this ambassador thing correctly. It's the biggest thrill you ever get in your whole heart. I remember raising a woman's baby from the dead and the look on her face. Well, how are you going to do that in the world? With worldly, by your flesh? You can't. You do it when you're believing it's Christ in you, that you've got the Spirit of God in you, that you're sent to perform miracles in people's lives as well as your own, that you're sent to deliver the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, to set people free. And just like back there in Luke and Matthew, it says a few verses earlier in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, in this body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. People, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to paradise, you're born again, you've got eternal life, but how you serve the Lord in that millennial kingdom is directly related to what you do with your life now. And baby, if you the one thing worth spending your life for is something that's going to outlast it. The only things that are going to outlast this life as far as the millennial kingdom go are the works that we do for the Master in the here and now. Not only do you get rewarded by the joy of seeing people's lives change, but you get rewarded by not going to your Master empty-handed. You get to enter into the joy of thy Lord, not just your Savior, but your Lord. You just keep your eyes open saying, Master, what next? What can I do for you today, God? And maybe it's as simple as just saying, telling somebody you love them, or building a friend up who's having a hard time. Maybe it's as complicated as starting a ministry. I don't know. And everything in between. But your labor in the Lord is never in vain, people. You say, well, Peg, what's important? Well, Jesus said the first commandment is, do you love God first and foremost above anything else? So he's going to say, did you love God? Did you love my Father? Did you love other people? Or were you just selfish? Did you seek first God and his kingdom and his agenda, or were you too busy doing your own little pile of stuff over here, which is going to amount to a hill of beans in eternity? Did you witness? You know, Were you a good ambassador? Did you represent the king well? Because we're all going to have to give an account, and I don't want to be ashamed at his coming. So I want to find out, okay, God, this is what I do, but how do you want me to use my life to glorify you? I've heard people say, well, I want to change jobs because nobody, I'm the only believer there. Well, hello? Hello? Maybe you're there because there are other believers there. They just don't know it yet. So find it and use it. Because the reason Jesus said back here in Luke, the kingdom didn't come immediately when you're born again, is you're left here to walk among men with one why, one goal. Represent God and bring more kids into the family. You know, God has no hands but our hands with which to give them bread, no feet but our feet with which to walk among the almost dead. We say that we are His and He is ours, but deeds are the proof, not words. And these, right now, these are the proven hours. People, God is the source of what we do, but you and I, we are the by means of. We are His billboard. We are His advertisement. We are His radio broadcast. We are supposed to be doing the things that Jesus did when He was here. Healing, loving, ministering. How? Big or small, we need to be doing it. And man, if you ever get this in your head, you'll be way ahead of the game. John 6:38, where Jesus said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And you know what I have found, people, when I just turn my will over to God and say, God, Thy will be done. What do You want me to do? How do You want me to spend my life? My life is so much brighter, so much happier, so much more fulfilled than any plan I could ever have come up with on my own. Jesus said, I only do those things which I see and hear the Father do, and we're supposed to take His place. And you can make excuses like the unfaithful servant and say, well, I'm not Jesus, I can't do that. Baloney. Last time I read the book, it was Christ in you. Last time I read this book, it says we can put on the mind of Christ. And we just read we're His ambassadors instead of Jesus. We're taking Jesus' place. Could it be, you know, you got to be dumber than a box of rocks not to get this. I mean, I'm sorry. It is just as plain as the nose on your face that we can be like Jesus. Not only is it possible, it's promised that we can live like Him. Are we going to be like Him and do it perfect 100% of the time? No, but I'll tell you what, baby, you can get your licks in and you can hit the bullseye once in a while and you can know that you know what you just did was God at work within you to will and to do of His good pleasure, and you know it and it feels good. It's fulfilling. First Corinthians 15:58. While you're turning there, I just want to say, here's the bottom line. God's plan, love wins. Only what is built on Jesus Christ is the foundation. There are not many roads to Chicago or salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Works don't get you there, but works sure make Father happy. If you really believe in Jesus, you're going to do good works. That's all there is to it. But they're works built on love. They're not done out of shame or guilt or, you know, somebody making you. They're done out of love. And only those things done out of love for God and His Son will last through eternity. Love, Jesus is the foundation, and love is the means by which we do God's will. Living for Him just to bring Him glory. Boy, what a great reason to live. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, God knows how easy it is to get our brain knocked off the track and to get all wrapped up in second-rate causes or have something terrible happen, and rather than going to Him to deliver us, we get all wrapped around the axle about how we're going to deliver ourselves, and we lose even more ground. Where God says, "Bring, cast all your care upon me and keep moving. I'm going to take you up. I've got your back. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you." So be steadfast, be unmovable. You know, this is all related to the hope. 1 Corinthians 15. Always abounding where? In the work of the Lord. Why? Here's your why. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All the earthly accolades are going to come and go, baby. But that one person you talked to and said, "Hey, do you know God loves you and He wants to bless you?" And they want to hear what you say. That is eternal. That lasts forever. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Happens to be the theme verse of Light of Christ Ministry. And that's our why. To glorify God. We're on this earth now for one reason. To witness. To learn to know God. Trust Him for His glory. For everything, including our health, our hope, our life, the lives of our family members. And bring glory to God by shining forth the promises that He's given us in the Word. People, if ever there was a time, the world is crying out for hope. Crying out for answers. Crying out for what we've got. It is today. And you know, you've been given a terrific tool to help you succeed in this, the Our Father class. You have something wonderful in your hands. You have something life-changing to serve other people, all plated up and ready to go. Even got a syllabus on PDF. Look around at your friends, your family, your fellow workers, because Jesus' words are as true today as they were 2,000 years ago. Lift up your eyes because the fields are white for harvest. The fields are white for harvest. They're ripe to be picking. People are crying out for answers. And the only answer is God's love. God's love manifested through Christ. You know, God is love. He isn't loving. He is love. Period. God is love. God is love. Therefore, you and I, we're creatures of His love. We're creations of His love. And that's why we can never give too much love. We can never get too much love. Man, you can get too much criticism and negativity real quick, but nobody ever gets too much genuine love. Nor can we believe too deeply in God's love for us. If we, you know, it's going to take eternity for the depth of God's love to really sink in. And because we're creatures of His love, then outside of walking in His kind of love, we are unhappy, unfulfilled, and unblessed. Man, if you've got any one of those three creeps hanging around, if you're unhappy, unfulfilled, or unblessed, I can tell you right now, you're not believing God loves you. And you're not trying to give that love to other people. It's a beautiful circle. It goes around and round. And when you're out there in hog country, all you got to do is one thing, get back into His love. And people say, "Well, how do I know if I'm in His love? How do I know if I'm walking in His love?" Because, honey, if you are, you're going to have joy and peace in your heart. You're going to have joy and peace in your heart, and you're going to have abundance in your life. And in the end, all that is not love or not like God, like His nature, will cease. And in the end, God will be all in all that is left, all of us, and darkness will be swallowed up in light. Death will be swallowed up in victory. And every man, every woman, and every child on earth needs to hear this good news. God loves you and invites you to His family. They need to know that Christ is coming back. But they need us to help them get on board or stay on board, to stay faithful, remembering that our labor in the Lord will not ever be in vain. Jesus promised in John 14 that He has gone to prepare a place for you and for me. But He also gave the command that we need to occupy until He comes back. The question I want to leave you with is, are you ready to occupy? Are you ready to really represent Him until He returns? Are you ready to serve the Lord with gladness and to spread the gospel truth? Honey, the harvest is still out there. It's still white. The fields are ripe for picking. That's why you're still here, to bring more kids home. And this has been God's plan from the very beginning, bringing many sons and daughters into glory. Because in the end, guess what? Love wins. Love wins. And you're a part of that plan through Jesus Christ. God bless. I love you guys.